Good morning. I'm Pastor David. Welcome to the program. This is Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. We're going to get into a fun topic for me this morning. We've been talking about the Trinity all week, but I'm going to specifically talk about how we can believe the Trinity, how we can believe that it's true. And what this discussion is all about is there is a God in heaven who loves you so much that he became man and went to the cross and faced death in order to pay for your sins because he loves you that much. And he calls on you to believe in him and trust in him, and he can forgive your sins based on what Jesus has done on the cross. And because of the resurrection, you can be forgiven and you can have eternal life. And that's the Christian message. And that message functions, if you will, when you understand God as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, you don't have to understand it or be able to explain it or even have a firm, you know, understanding of what it is to be saved and to know Jesus. But the clearer you are on these things and the more confident you are in the very nature of God, that he's three persons, the more you're going to be able to understand so many important teachings the Bible give us, the more you're going to be able to embrace them, the more you're going to have confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And so it may not be clear to see how being a little fuzzy on the Trinity or doubtful about the Trinity could lead to other problems, but it does again and again through history. People that have moved away from the Trinity have questioned other parts of the Bible and moved away from the Bible. And I just think that it gives you a view of God that helps you fit together everything he's done for salvation. So we're looking at the Trinity, and the question is, well, can we believe it? God is one. There is one God, and yet three persons, distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are each fully God. Does that make sense? And that's one of the challenges that are given to the Bible, and I would tell you that I believe every word of the Bible is true. We can trust all of it. It is our authority. It is our solid rock to guide us in life, that there's no problem with it, nothing that needs correcting. It is the perfect revelation of God. It helps us to know who Jesus is and to guide us in life. And so if the Bible teaches the Trinity, I'm going to believe the Trinity. And we've looked throughout this week that the Bible does indeed teach the Trinity. Now, I will admit, though, that if the Trinity cannot be true, it's not possible for there to be one God and yet three persons who are God. That's a contradiction. It doesn't make sense. It's logically impossible. Well, then the Bible would not be true. So that's how important this issue is, because it's what the Bible teaches. So the question then is, can this make sense? Now let me separate something here. We're not saying, can we understand it fully? There are lots of things that I don't understand that are true. I don't understand how computers work. I don't understand how my iPhone in that little tiny device, how it's able to do so many things. That doesn't mean that it's logically impossible or cannot be true. It's there in my hand. It's doing things, so clearly it is. So we're not trying to show that the Trinity can be understood easily or even comprehended at all. What we need to show that it is not a problem for the Bible, that we can still be confident that the Bible's true and embrace the Trinity, is we simply need to show that it is not logically impossible. And by that I mean, for example, if the Bible said that God is one person and at the same time said God is three persons, that would be a flat contradiction. If the Bible said there is one God and also said there are three gods, that would be a flat contradiction. That would be logically impossible. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible never says that anywhere. The Bible says God is one And the Bible says the Father's one, the Holy Spirit's, if the Father's God, the Holy Spirit's God, and the Son is God. And so the Bible presents God as one God in three persons. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for God is echad when it says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, in Deuteronomy 6:4. It uses the Hebrew word echad, which is one kind of one. There are two different words you can use for one. The other one, yachid, means one and only one. So, for example, in Genesis, when Abraham is about to offer Isaac, God talks to Abraham and he says, take your son, your only son, and there he uses the word yachid, meaning one and only, there's only one. But when the Bible says that God is one, it uses the word echad, which means one in a compound sense. If Genesis 11:6 says about the Tower of Babel, if as one people, and then it goes on to say what the people building the Tower of Babel did, and says if as one people they've done this, the word one there is referring to that whole group of people. And yet it's calling them one, and it's the word echad. And this is the same word that the Bible uses to talk about God. So the Bible presents God as one being, one in nature, one in essence, yet three persons. One of the illustrations used for this, or analogies, is ice, water, and steam. It's not a good analogy, because in that example, you have water churning into ice or turning into steam. And the Trinity is not that there's one being who turns into another being and turns into another being. We looked at that yesterday, that all three are acting simultaneously and distinctly. So that's not a good analogy. In fact, there are no good analogies to the Trinity. And that shouldn't surprise us, because all of nature is created by God. God is higher. God is over creation. So it shouldn't be surprising that there's nothing in creation that is much like God in the triune sense, in the giving us an understanding of the Trinity. So there are no analogies. There's nothing we can say God is like this. However, I do think there are some helpful illustrations, things that aren't like God, but they illustrate the concept of how you can have one being and yet more than one person as part of that being, one being three persons. So what I want to look at are some illustrations illustrating that there is a logical possibility to the Trinity, and that therefore there's no reason that we should reject the Trinity. And since the Bible presents the Trinity and is trustworthy, we can believe the Trinity. And we look elsewhere to know why we can trust the Bible, but there's nothing about the Trinity that should cause us any problem trusting the Bible. We can believe what it says about the Trinity. So we'll do a lot of this tomorrow, but one I'll start with as an example is the idea of pets or animals in general. You believe, I would assume, most of you anyway, that a person has a soul, that there's something that exists apart from us, that when we die, our soul goes on to another place, regardless of what you believe about that. And let's think about animals. Now, I don't want to get into the whole debate about what happens to animals when they die, but I think you can at least imagine or conceive that maybe animals don't have a soul. Even if that's not your position, you could imagine that happens. So you have a being, an animal, that has no souls. Then you have people, a being with one soul. What's to say there couldn't be a being with three souls? Now, again, that's just an illustration, and we'll talk more about these tomorrow. Remember, until then, you can trust the Bible.